Welcome to the Author of Time. Today, I would like to talk to you about discipline. Discipline is important in one's life. Without discipline, we fall in illusion. We don't cope with matters as it should. To the order of philognosy, this means a threefold perspective. We have a discipline concerning facts. We have a discipline concerning principles, and we have a discipline concerning the person. I explained about the six views we have. So to each discipline, we in fact have two views. And the discipline manifests as a type of view, and this view is partly manifest and partly unmanifest. Let me explain this to you. We first of all have the discipline of facts, dealing with facts. First of all, we have to be free from illusion. We have to deal with the knowledge, properly weighing the different interests of the subject in question, which means that first we have to determine the problem, what are we talking about, and then we have to find a solution, an answer to the problem. This takes the form of a kind of counter argument. It's argument and counter argument, which is the opposite of the problem. But that's not enough to have a problem and to find an answer. The answer usually means that that we found a thing contrary to the problem. But does it really work? Does it really give us a grip on every situation? So we need to generalize it to an all around concept. This requires thirdly a proper division of our material. We have to arrive at a certain order with that division, which covers the complexity of our subject. This is then followed by a conclusion, which means that we comprise everything in our survey, in our consideration of the knowledge concerning a certain subject. So this is all very abstract. In the end, we turn out to be of philosophy. This is philosophy. Methodically arguing, positioning facts in a certain type of order, so that we get a grip on things. This is philosophy. This is the first discipline. We weigh the facts as far as we know, so we can deal with them. This is a necessary basic discipline to defeat illusion. After managing facts, we arrive at the necessity of that order. We have conceived of a type of order, and now we have to settle this in the form of that grip. This latter method. This latter consequence of the method, rather, we call science. We measure time, for instance. First, we thought about it, how to manage our time, and we end up with a clock. So this clock is a kind of instrument to tell us how the solution looks like. And this is a solution. This is a way of measuring things and managing things. it is a concrete result to which we have a certain notion of order. This notion of order manifested in philosophy. We became explicit about it, and now we derive from it from here, like something we keep in mind, but we are not aware of it anymore in the sense of alternatives, that there would be something else but that one order we arrived at. This we call a paradigm, a way of seeing things, which could just as well be another way of looking at things. This is fundamental to the concept of integrity we head for with our discipline. The discipline about facts is quite atheistic. There's no sense of duplicity, no sense of duality even. You simply fit in everything into a certain vision of reality, and there's no other reality than that of time, space, and matter. But the integrity of this demands more than just philosophical weighing and devising a concept of order in the form of a machine or a paradigm. So what's next? Next we need to work with this, to have this as a directive in our lives. So in fact we submit with this to a form of control. With the clock we submit to a form of control that tells us that we are a kind of children that have to listen. You have a teacher, you have children, you have a master, you have a dog. So there rises a kind of duality if you want to profess what we have achieved. This professing, this teaching of this confessing to a type of order which would lead us is the essence of the analytical view. This is also what artists do when they write books, or musicians do when they write songs. They express themselves in form of control. So it is not really a paradigm, it is more an artistic accomplishment to deal with the duality, to deal with the soul sitting in a body, to deal with an abstract which must be meditated, which must inspire us or lead us or figure as a symbol to identify us with. We need these things just for our emotional and mental health. The analytic view is also the way we help each other. This is also therapy. To express yourself, not have any definitive answers, but we'll get there. It's a kind of discipline, listening, answering questions, concluding to certain expressions, songs. And that gives us a life. So after science, there's a necessary third step to make, and that is to the principle of duality, in fact. In fact, we are dual beings, souls that want to express themselves in the material world, and that also we have to do that in two types of children. There are children of culture, children of mind, like books and songs, and there are children of the flesh, which also need care and must be educated. So this is the analytic view. This is a third discipline, or the third view to the second discipline of the principles. First we have the discipline of facts, which is pretty scientific and atheistic. and to the principles of to the discipline of principles, we arrive at this duality, which is an arguable accomplishment, because you have split yourselves now in two, and the scientist doesn't really like that you cut yourselves in two, in the soul and the body. He rather sees you as one, but it's inevitable to educate your own children and to care for your own products, and to see you as a user and a product, both at the same time. This is a duality. The duality is inescapable, connected to our material existence, and we have to deal with it. But we do not call this scientific anymore. We call this more an art or an analytic approach. We have to. It's an art to express yourself, express yourselves in song, or in words, or in in another way, to help people, and to be of a proper integrity in this, and to be true and honest to the moment, and to be there for others too. But that still is not enough. There's another side to this manifestation of principle in the form of art and children and education. There's also the need to stay on top of things, to withdraw from all these activities of relating to the subject to the object. There's the need to be. To be integer on top of that, to be transcendent, to be metaphysical, above the physical. This is a process of rising, elevating, emancipation. You can call it meditation. In fact, it's a far more complicated thing, the whole spiritual science of self-realization. Which means that you take responsibility for the witness, which obeys to different laws than that what is witnessed. And the universe is pretty lawful with laws, and your witnessing to it must be at least as strong to be of free will, to speak of yourself as a human soul, able to decide to this or that strategy. Well, you have to be firm in your self-realization. You have to be a stable self, stable in wisdom, on top of things. So this is a real discipline. And this is associated with the principles of humanity, the principles connected to that witness, which define us as human beings. From these principles, we speak of ourselves as being human, as being the same, to have an identity too, because there's still more. The spirituality of realizing yourself relating to matter cannot stand on its own. It is always related to other things. It is related to what came before, the scientific discipline and the analytic view. And the need to manifest in the world, and the spirituality is the need to be not manifest, to be a witness, not to do anything. But that's facts and principles. In psychology, we sometimes say it's on becoming a person. It's realizing in meditation, in the spiritual realm, rising above matter, you also think about who you are. Am I a soul? Am I my ego? Am I the hand I'm lifting? If I cut off my arm, am I still there? Do I exist in my dreams? Is that an independent existence? These questions are questions of identity. They are important. They determine your well-being, in the sense of a recognizable subject relating to others as an object. You are an objective person, a character, a personality. And this is not transcendent, this is not analytical, this is not scientific, this is simply personal. We are personal in third instance. This person that we are offers opportunities to others and to the person himself. The person can be of many motives. The person is to be respected. You have to listen to each other. You have to present yourself to other people, and you have to fill your agenda with it. It's a time related affair. So manifesting in time, our respect for the person, when we manifest in time, is usually classically done in a religion. Religiously, we have an agenda with which we respect the Buddha or Jesus or Krishna or any other type of classical hero, telling us what it means to respect the person. The person is there to be of a certain duty to that what we have said already, to the human interest of the principles of the soul, and to the duality of the analytic difference between the person as a soul and as a material form. So this culminates into a systematic approach of the person, which is usually called the religion. If we without religion demand attention for ourselves, we call that an ego trip. You can have a gig as an artist. That's just the analytic temporary festivity about a certain expression, which shows the maybe the transcendental spiritual purpose. But if you want to have it every week, that is something different. People won't attend every week to your concert. It's a one-time affair usually. And as such, your person is not really respected by it. It's just a temporary party you engage in. And the more durable respect for the person is often a religious affair. As systematic with time, we call it a religion. It characterizes religion to be explicit about a certain order of time. So this is of relevance to our subject and the integrity of logancy we argue for, which I'm defending now. The enlightenment of the spiritual department opposes against that religion, but then the person of spirituality may get depressed or problematic in the analytic department, seeking help and not knowing who one is. And religion is the classical answer, which is called liberation. So there's enlightenment and liberation. We discussed this before in other talks. But the point I'm making now is that to the discipline of facts and principles, there's this third discipline of the person which cannot be neglected. And the manifest of our society, or respecting people, is either in religion or sometimes some systematic attention for a professor in a school or something. But that is not really for the person himself, but for the subject discussed by that person. So religion is the attention for the person, but there's another side to that religion. There's the less manifest of that time interest to the person, which we call politics. In politics, we comment on the interest of the person, and that's the other half of this discipline. In politics, we organize ourselves in respect for the person in the form of political parties that manage a certain discipline, which constitute a certain comment to the classical views of religion. So we are complete in our discipline if we respect all the three in our phylogeny. This is the point I wanted to make today. I thank you for your attention.